Saluti, I'm Laura Valtorta. Welcome to episode 11 of my podcast, B is for Bisexual. This story, called Bullet and Tweed, is one of my favorites because it talks about a marriage and a bromance. My favorite character is the grandmother Doris, and I'm glad that I'm going to be doing her voice. With us are Marco, a computer scientist, and Dante, a musician. Bullet and Tweed is an ode to families and how friends can save you in a time of crisis. Please don't forget to watch my films, including The Art House, the narrative fiction Bermuda, and Disability on channels such as Amazon Prime, Tubi, and Filmocracy. My collection of short stories, B is for Bisexual, is available for purchase on Kindle. A shout out to listeners in Canada, California, Finland, Germany, South Carolina, Texas, Minneapolis, Minnesota, and New York. And now, Bullet and Tweed. Henry, honey, you have a beautiful soul. That was what Minaya used to say to Bullet before she died unexpectedly of congestive heart failure at the age of 45. She was the only one in the world who called him Henry after his family changed it to Bullet because of his bald oval head and short muscular body. Bullet called Minaya Princess because her presence was always a royal miracle to him. To think that a tall, willowy woman like her, with skin the color of smooth black paint, could fall in love with his 5'5" body and Alabama cracker ways. When she died, he was left with two teenage daughters who did not respect him. Tiffany, 17 years old, spent all of her free time in Anniston, in the woodshop of his mother, Doris. They lugged in pieces of wood and made end tables and benches that they called artistic. Doris owned a jigsaw. When Bullet dropped in to check on them and inspect the pieces they were making, Tiffany and Doris ganged up on him.
"This drawer does not close,"
Bullet remarked about a particularly intricate game table composed by Tiffany with flaps and a checkerboard top. The sides painted green and red. "What you talking about, boy?" snapped Doris. "We can plane it to fit. Tiffany here is making some of the prettiest furniture I've ever seen in my life." Then they linked arms and laughed at him. And even though Tiffany was 6 feet tall and growing, and Doris, with her gray hippie ponytail, was 5'3", they had the same cartoon dog laugh. How could anybody inherit a laugh? Tiffany was planning to attend the technical college, and Bullet secretly could not wait to see her go. She looked like Minaya, but with none of the tenderness. Macy, 15 years old, was more of a homebody. She kept a kitchen garden and sold vegetables and berries by the side of the road as her summer job. Doris and Tiffany had constructed her a bright yellow shed with a sign that said, "Macy's Produce." Even though Macy spent most of her time at home, she still managed to boss Bullet around and make him feel short. "Dad, quit moping and go pick up your guitar," Macy was always suggesting. Bullet had played in a band before Minaya died. Now, he couldn't really think about music without choking, because that was how he and Minaya had met, at a bar after a concert where he was playing his beloved original song, Squash Flower. They didn't say anything, they just danced, and it was the first time Bullet had sex on the first encounter. They drove outside of town in his van where he kept the instruments. They had sex under an oak tree without saying a word. The thick, twisted limbs of the ancient oak had spread out like branches of their family tree. Bullet and Minaya had graduated from the same high school, but Minaya played basketball and Bullet was in the marching band. Those two groups did not mix. Or maybe it was because of the black-white thing. All those groupings and labels and Southern pride nonsense seemed meaningless in the back of the van, and while driving home, Bullitt felt electrified. After they married, Bullitt began to celebrate Martin Luther King Day for real. He attended a black church for the first time and lost himself in the music. He traveled into and out of that world, but his universe centered around Minaya. Now, Macy was determined to attend the University of Birmingham and get herself a highfalutin job in a research lab. It was UAB or bust for Macy. Bullitt knew he would really miss his baby girl, but that was a long way off. Bullitt himself worked in a factory that made lawnmowers. He was group leader. It wasn't the most exciting job, but it paid the bills. Back when Minaya was waiting for him at home with jambalaya, the monotony and deafening noise of the factory work had all seemed worth it. Now he began to think about retirement. "You too young to retire," Doris said. "Get your band back together, fathead." Doris and Tiffany cackled and nearly rolled over with laughter. Bullitt wondered why he bothered to check up on these women in the workshop. Clearly they did not value his opinion. Maybe it was because his mother always had a quick answer for everything. She didn't mess around.
"I could do without the fathead part,"
said Bullitt, and he swung his jacket over his shoulder before leaving.
"Well, you may be right, Mother, about the band."
Doris and Tiffany linked arms and watched him go. Bullitt wondered about his nieces and nephews who never visited Doris in her shop. "These cheerleaders," was Doris's description of them. "Nothing but cotton between their ears." His two nieces actually were cheerleaders while his nephew played golf. Bullitt could not imagine his mother on a golf course. Bullitt decided to telephone his bandmate, Tweeta Roberts.
"Tweed here,"
he said as he answered the phone.
"Hey, it's Bullitt."
"Hey, buddy, how are you doing?"
"Oh, I'm doing just terrible, missing my wife. I thought we might practice some song together, you know, sing a little blues."
"Sure thing, man."
Tweed, whose family had nicknamed him Tweedledum when he was 2 years old, looked a lot like Bullitt and was the type of surefire person to sing backup. He could never get over how clever Bullitt's songs were or how it was possible for a human being to sit down and create such soulful music. Tweed was the first actual fan Bullitt ever had before he met Minaya, before he became famous all those years later. And luckily, he was a member now of Bullitt's own band. They arranged to meet in Bullitt's garage. Macy set out chairs for them and a tray of cookies and iced tea.
"Thank you, honey. She's a good girl,"
said Tweed as Macy closed the door.
"Well, both my girls are good,"
said Bullitt. But as he thought of Tiffany with her flat top, hairstyle, rap music, and fluorescent green Nikes, her gift from Grandma Doris, he wondered just how good Tiffany was. Maybe good at furniture making. Scary.
"Well, let's warm up with some Willie Nelson."
They played other people's songs for an hour before Tweed said,
"Let me hear some of your new stuff."
Bullitt started with Void and ended with Missing You.
"Those are real fine,"
said Tweed.
"But I think you will disappoint the audience if you don't sing something upbeat."
Bullitt thought for a moment.
"You know, I've recently have started on a song about my mother Doris, Woodwitch."
"Good for Halloween,"
said Tweed.
"There's a lot of important parts for you on the bass."
Bullitt lit into a minor plucky songs of Witch. He played it loud and fast.
"Wow, I love it,"
said Tweed. Macy was standing in the doorway, dancing, her curls bouncing. "Dad, this is so great. It sounds like bluegrass."
"You've got this song that could be a hit,"
said Tweed.
"I feel it."
Macy looked at her dad. "I'm going to Uncle James's house tonight to play chess. Can you two get dinner on your own?"
"That's a sure thing, baby girl,"
said Bullitt.
"We can get some grub at the fry shack,"
said Tweed. Bullitt watched Macy bounce up the steps. He fretted about her sometimes without her mother around. Macy had lighter skin than Tiffany's, and Bullet thought she worried about that. She went to see Uncle James on a regular basis because he was the only relative of Maniah's around, her brother from Louisiana. Macy was studying his way of life. She cared about fitting in. Tiffany had more of a fuck you kind of attitude, like his own mother Doris. The world needed to accept her or else too bad for the world. Tiff shouldn't go to that pissant technical school, said Doris shortly after Maniah died. She deserves better. Bullet said nothing. He was wrapped up in his own grief for the first year. When Doris went ahead and pushed Tiffany to apply to the local small university, he went along with it.
Whatever,
he said. Tiffany still hadn't been accepted a year later. Maybe her cobbled-together, invented major of art and mechanical design was too large and open-minded for Jacksonville State to accommodate. Bullet also realized that Doris would never participate in the scheme for Tiffany to study far away in Atlanta or UAB. His mother was sly. After kicking out an early ex-husband that reportedly beat her and raising two sons on her own, Doris was enjoying Tiffany as the first person in the family who came close to understanding her. Bullet was a little bit jealous of the relationship.
How about we go to Ranchero's and get some salad and steak?
Bullet suggested.
My treat.
He needed an adult person to talk to, and Tweed was it.
I don't know,
said Bullet after they ordered steak and salad and baked potatoes.
I just wonder if my family is falling apart, you know?
What do you mean?
Asked Tweed.
Tiff and Macy are right there with you.
They don't like me,
said Bullet.
I'm just a country kind of guy, and I'm white.
I think they like you just fine. They love you. You're their daddy.
Maybe I'm not cool enough,
said Bullet.
Maniah was such a good mother. She cooked fantastic food. She fixed her hair. She helped them shop her clothes. I can't do none of that.
Tweed thought about this. He was the sort of friend Bullet could talk to about the color divide and not have the conversation devolve into politics. Tweed was a deep thinker.
I remember Tiffany was angry about the fancy clothes Minaya made her wear. Remember how she threw them dresses away, went out and shaved her head?
Oh, I remember,
said Bullet.
But she was just being a teenager. I can't even talk to Tiffany. She's sawing wood with my mother all the time, two witches plotting to take over the world. And Macy wishes I was black like her mom.
Tweed said,
I don't see it. Them girls love you. Everybody's grieving over Minaya at your house. You need to cheer things up. Forget about being a widower. I believe we should crank up the band and sing some of your original songs.
Bullet nodded.
Music will give you something fun to work on.
They booked a show at the Fry Shack for the following month. The clientele would be so bottom heavy with beer and fried fish that they might sleep through the first set. The Fry Shack was a safe venue.
We need to put together a band,
said Tweed. In the 3 years since they last played, their drummer Rodney had a tractor flip over on him and ruin his back. Cedric, the bassist, had moved to Mobile and joined a jazz ensemble.
The Country Boys is no more,
said Bullet after making several phone calls.
Slim pickings with musicians around here.
I know a Blue Ridge fiddler,
said Tweed.
No way, we'd be playing Orange Blossom Special every night.
Tweed paced around his trailer.
We sound pretty good by ourselves. We could call ourselves Garage Band.
How about Bullet and Tweed?
Said Bullet.
That's real descriptive.
Makes us sound like an English hunting club,
said Tweed.
But I like it.
They practiced for 2 weeks in Bullet's garage. When they had put together 10 songs that sounded decent, 5 of them written by Bullet, Tweed decided they needed to rehearse before a live audience.
In the old days, we was always playing covers,
he explained to Bullet.
I don't want us to sing the originals for the first time and then bomb. So we need to try out the songs in front of real people.
Who can we get to listen?
Tiff and Macy and Doris,
said Tweed.
Hey, what about using your relatives?
My mother's a drunk, and my daddy ran off to Tennessee.
Your sister Linda lives around here.
Bullet didn't like Linda especially, but he wasn't going to let Tweed get away with this.
Okay, you asked for it. I'll see if she can get time off from her Walmart job.
When Doris heard about the concert, she was enthusiastic. Lord, I can't wait to hear this. You and Tweed singing your own songs. Yay-hoo! I'll be there, especially if I get to comment and criticize.
Certainly, Mother. Linda Roberts will also be there, you know.
You mean Tweed's sister? That woman is dumber than a marshmallow on a stick. I'm in. Macy and Tiffany were less enthusiastic. Do we have to sit there the whole time? Said Macy. I have a science project due the next day.
Only an hour,
said Bullet.
I know you've been working hard on the soybean plants. You can take a break from that.
Tiffany just rolled her eyes. They were eating dinner together for once. What is this gross casserole you made? Said Tiffany.
It's just fried potatoes with cheese.
Well, the cheese part is good, said Macy. But you need to cook the potatoes longer. They're still crunchy. I don't even like the cheese, said Tiffany.
Well, I also made biscuits and salad.
Bullet pointed to the bowls on the table. They ate in silence for a moment. It's a good thing Mom taught us how to cook, said Macy.
One day I might try to make that jambalaya recipe,
said Bullet. The girl said nothing. Tiffany pulled out her phone. The garage rehearsal took place on a Sunday because both Tweed and Bullet had Mondays off from the plant. Macy invited Uncle James. Linda showed up first, still wearing her Walmart vest. She had long pink press-on nails and a puffy, dyed blonde hairdo. Bullet wondered how she could be related to Tweed, who had hair like an upside-down mixing bowl. Looks pretty, said Linda, pointing to the string of Christmas lights Macy had strung across the garage. Nice touch.
Glad to see you, Linda,
said Bullet. He sensed that Linda was trying to be careful and generous with him because his wife had died. He hated that.
How about you have some sandwiches?
He gestured to the fold-out table. Tweed had ordered a platter of firehouse subs. Uncle James was the next to arrive. He wore what looked like his Sunday attire, including a suit, shiny shoes, and a baseball cap. Macy always said that Uncle James was self-conscious about going bald. Bullet ran over to shake his hand.
James, it's nice to see you. Macy says she still can't beat you at chess.
She's getting better at it. Almost had me the other day.
Come over here. Why don't you have some sandwiches?
Bullet looked at the table and realized that Tiffany had forgotten to bring out the drinks.
Let me see if we have some Coca-Cola in the house.
In the corner, Tweed was tuning his guitar.
Wow, I feel more nervous than I thought. We hadn't played together for the public in 3 years.
Bullet patted him on the shoulder as he headed toward the kitchen. In the refrigerator, he could only find a can of sweet tea and a half-guzzled bottle of water. Back in the garage, he saw that Doris and Tiffany were struggling to get through the side door, carrying a large cooler filled with ice and drinks. Open the damn garage door, said Doris. Bullet hit the switch and felt a light breeze on his face. The weather was fine. It was October. They could leave the door open for the concert. With two coolers of sodas and water in place, he felt they should begin the concert. He texted Macy to come down from her bedroom. Despite writing a science report, she had found time to tie her hair up in a puff on top of her head and put on a dress and jean jacket. She had on sparkly eyeliner. She looked very nice. Bullet and Tweed stood in front of the microphones they had set up. The idea was to mimic the wooden stage at Fry's Shack.
Ladies and gentlemen,
said Bullet,
I want to thank you for being here tonight. My name is Henry Smith, and this is my partner, Tweed Roberts. We are Bullet and Tweed. This is a new show with new music. We want to hear all your comments after the show, and we love you.
The five audience members clapped. Bullet had heard Doris guffaw when he said Henry Smith, but he didn't care. Henry was his name. His mother would have to live with it. He understood that Henry was also the name of his abusive father. But that man was long gone, not seen since Bullet was 4 years old. Bullet Henry had never been abusive in his life. They started by playing an old favorite, Poke Salad Annie, which got everyone swaying and tapping their feet. Linda stood up to dance a little. The three songs after that were all originals, written by both of them, but mostly Bullet. A couple of ballads about Minaya, and then Wood Witch. Witch brought down the house. Doris stood up to stomp and clap, followed by the other four, who soon formed a conga line around the chairs. Bullet wondered if his mother recognized that the song was about her. Tweed had insisted they needed to sing Georgia on My Mind to bring everybody down to earth. After that, they broke for sandwiches. "Son, you ain't half bad," said Doris, her mouth full of salami sandwich. "I don't remember you being this good."
"We got better,"
said Bullet.
"From grieving and writing music."
"I don't like you calling yourself Henry, not one bit. Brings back bad memories."
"Mother will have to see. I'm trying the name out for size."
Doris nodded her head. "You're a grown man now. You'll have to decide for yourself." Bullet thought this was rich, being called a grown man all of a sudden since he was nearly 50 years old. When the show was over, Bullet told the audience he owed the great success of his music to Tweed, who had added notes and changed lyrics and sung great backup in his tenor voice. Macy shouted out, "You should both enter America's Got Talent." At the time, it seemed like such a crazy idea. When Tiffany got accepted at Jacksonville State University with a new major in art and design that she had invented herself along with Grandma Doris, there was a festive air at the Smith household. Henry Bullet liked to admit that he liked the idea of Tiffany living at home. Besides being cheaper, he could keep his eye on his older daughter, who often seemed dangerous to him and bent out of control. Better to give her some guidance now and then and check out her friends. Doris cried at Tiffany's graduation, big bawling sobs. "My grandbaby is growing up."
"Mother, you know she'll be living at home for the next 4 years."
"I can't help it," sobbed Doris. Macy and Bullet looked at each other and laughed. When Tiffany walked across the stage, smiling and wearing fiery red Nikes and six earrings in each ear, Uncle James whistled so loud that Macy covered his ears. "Good Lord," said Doris. "She reminds me so much of my sister," said James, "the way she walks and all." Macy stared down at the ground. James put his arm around her. "And you, Macy, remind me so much of your mother's ways. Minaya acted just like you, and she was an excellent chess player." Bullet Henry was happy to see that his younger daughter stood up and smiled. The end.